This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, on a Thanksgiving Eve. And we have so much to get into. This Elon Vivek Department of Government Efficiency. There's some stinky GOPers involved in this whole thing. We'll discuss that. People have a lot to say about Thanksgiving. That'll probably have to be talked about this hour some. We have, well, people were angry with Utah. I don't understand why. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. Dr. Jesse, Iowa resident here that would love to primary my entire delegation. Joni Ernst was just tapped to help Elon and Vivek with Doge. Is it even possible to primary her now? All right, so this is the problem we are going to have, and it's going to be a source of frustration for you and me, but we also have to understand this. We want the system cleaned out. We want the bad guys to lose. We want them to be fired. This includes losers in the GOP. We want them primaried. We want the system cleaned out. We want good people to replace them because we care about our country, and that's good. All those things are good. But it takes time to do it, and working within the system makes it very, very difficult to clean the system. This Department of Government Efficiency, I'll just go ahead and lay it out there, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I don't like talking about it. I love the idea of it. I love that Elon and Vivek are doing it. I love that they're talking about cutting this and cutting that. And then I saw the list. I don't have it in front of me. But then I saw the list of the GOPers who are going to be helping them do it. And it's John Cornyn. It's Joni Ernst. And if I was part of the swamp, part of the system, and I wanted to ensure that no significant parts of the system are going to face any opposition, I would do exactly what they've done. I would take some GOP rhinos and I would throw them on this Doge commission because they're going to get in there and they're going to really dig into it. Except they're not. What they'll do is, what the people like Joni Ernst and John Cornyn, what they will do is they will act as if they're doing something, but without ever actually doing anything significant. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I don't eat vegetables. I refuse to eat vegetables unless it's an onion or something. And that's delicious, but I don't eat vegetables. And so when I was a kid, I used to think I was really, really slick. My parents would always, of course, in my house, you had to eat whatever was prepared. You sit down and you're not allowed to get up till it's done. So I'd sit down and there'd be something disgusting on the plate, like turkey or lima beans or something like that, or both. And I would push things around the plate. Instead of leaving the big pile of lima beans right where they were, I wouldn't eat any, of course, but I would move some over here and move some over there. Let's just get rid of this big pile. I haven't actually done anything significant, but from the outside looking in, for someone looking over at my plate, it might appear that I've done some damage to those lima beans. Granted, I had 10 before, I still have 10, but the 10 are in different places. That is the exact kind of thing that the John Cornyn and Joni Ernst types are going to do with the Department of Government Efficiency. They'll get in and you watch, you just watch. Chris, write this down. You watch the losers in the GOP Senate who are getting involved in this. They're going to start publicly bragging about the cuts they're making. And they'll find the most absurd things, which we shouldn't be funding, of course. You know, we're funding turtles with mental disabilities in the Caribbean. Like, that's the kind of crazy crap the government funds. They'll find these ridiculous things. Joni Ernst will find these things, and then she'll put it out there all over social media. Look at what I've cut. We're no longer funding these moronic turtles. I am cutting things. It's an honor to be part of Trump's government, and we're cutting the government. Only when you dig into it, it'll be $50,000. Not that $50,000 is nothing. It's significant. But you'll notice they're not going to actually cut anything that's really, really crushing us. That stuff is what they're there to protect, you see. So I have a lot of concerns. I think they're going to sit down at that plate full of lima beans, and they're going to push it all over the plate, and then they're going to brag to you and me about, look at the great work we've done. I saw that list of names that's going to be on the Doge Council, and I just honestly almost poured a whiskey. Dear Papa Cream, stop calling me that. I said that nickname one time, okay? I should not have said that. You recently mentioned your stance on stop nutting the dessert. As a person experiencing a tree nut allergy, I appreciate you speaking out against big nuts. I'm sure you firmly stand behind your comments. I call on you to lead by example and share your recommendations for the best desserts. World famous author leading the charge, we can finally begin the noble work of busting big nuts. Thanks for all you do. His name is Greg. Yes, nuts do not belong in dessert. Stop sprinkling nuts on my pudding. Stop putting nuts in my brownies. And pecan pie is the exception to this, so don't email me about pecan pie. Pecan pie is the exception to this. Stop putting your nuts in dessert. Stop. I love nuts. I'm Mr. Nut, right? They don't belong in dessert. That's one. Two, the best desserts ever? I'll tell you what my favorite one that Ob makes is. Well, she makes a couple that are really good. You know of, you've had oatmeal cream pies, Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies before. Ob, she makes them homemade from scratch. Homemade oatmeal cream pies. When we have any kind of a big party, a big Christmas party, a big whatever, one of those things where everyone brings a dish, she will bring the oatmeal cream pies, and now it is known in the neighborhood. Her oatmeal cream pies are famous. Everyone, kids and adults alike, they will descend on whatever Tupperware she brings like a pack of wolves. And in 2 minutes, it's the first thing gone every time. They will wipe out the oatmeal cream pies. I have gotten to the point where I demand that she sets aside two or three for me to keep them back to the house because I won't get one at the party. I won't get one. Homemade oatmeal cream pies are amazing. She makes homemade banana pudding. Everyone listening in Georgia right now is going to appreciate that because Georgia has the best banana pudding I've ever had in my life. But homemade banana pudding that is dynamite. But the best thing in the world that she makes, it's a berry cobbler. Okay, a berry cobbler, only instead of the normal pie crust on top of it, it's a sugar cookie crust. So it's a crust. It just looks like a pie crust, but it's a little crunchier, and it's got some sugar crystals in it. She makes that with homemade vanilla ice cream, and she pulls the cobbler out of the oven, and she's always like, you gotta wait. You're going to burn your mouth again. But I can never wait, so I go, and I scoop a couple things in, and it's just liquid hot magma at this point. But then I take the homemade vanilla ice cream, and I start dumping that on there, and it starts melting. And oh my gosh, it's the best thing. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life. Dear turkey hating Oracle, you've gone total jihad after turkey dinner. I'm beginning to think you have gone commie on us. You're trying to single-handedly destroy a great American tradition like the commies are destroying everything else American. You've become just like the trannies who are forcing their garbage down our throats. What traditional holiday will you try to destroy next? Her name is Colleen. No, I'm not trying to destroy Thanksgiving. I'm trying to help your Thanksgiving. I'm trying to aid your Thanksgiving, you see. You can improve on things. That's allowed.
Jesse, Sergeant Greasy here, retired law enforcement, calling with an update and a question. Update is, you had some advice about meeting the brand new boyfriend of my daughter. I did not follow your advice. I decided to go very easy on this guy and see if he'd fall for it. He did not. He was the appropriate amount of suck up without being obnoxious, and he brought me a bottle of my favorite scotch. So far, so good. But my question is, I was in the Navy. There are some really stupid guys I worked with that thought they could get out of the Navy by breaking each other's legs. And their plan was, you break my leg, and then afterwards I'll break your leg with this angle iron. What's the dumbest thing you ever saw one of your fellow Marines do to try and get out of work or try to get out of the service?
Oh boy, do I have one for you. I've got one of those for you. I'll tell you that story in just a moment. Before I tell you that story, let me tell you about preborn. Let's do something good before we screw off for a couple minutes. Let's save a baby's life. Holiday season, not holiday season, the babies are still in danger. They are still killed at a staggering rate in this country. Preborn, they save lives. They give these young mothers free ultrasounds. That young lady, like, again, you're the hyper-informed. That young lady, she's young, maybe dumb, scared, doesn't know what to do. Parents, boyfriend telling her, just kill it, just kill it, just get rid of it. And she's out there looking for an abortion clinic. As we speak, this is happening. Preborn is going to find her, and they're going to give her an ultrasound for free. And once she hears that heartbeat, she will choose life. They almost all do. It's something from God. Help Preborn do it. $28 buys the ultrasound. But whatever you give to Preborn, give as much as you want or as little. If it's $5, whatever. If it's $5,000, great. It's all tax deductible. Save a life and deduct it from your taxes. How amazing is that? Preborn.com/Jesse. That's preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday. So the guy asked the question, in case you're just now joining us. He was in the Navy, saw some dudes trying to break each other's legs to get out of the Navy. Did I ever see anybody do something stupid like that in the Marines? I did, as a matter of fact. So every platoon, at least to my knowledge, every platoon has one or two guys who are complete and utter morons. It's just inevitable. When you get that many people from that many different walks of life, you're going to have some geniuses, you're going to have some morons, you're going to have the funny guy, you're just going to have different people. But morons on a level that it really is amazing. You don't fully appreciate how dumb some people are until you get forced into living with them for extended periods of time. And there was one in my weapons platoon. I was in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, weapons platoon. I am not going to name this individual, so for our purposes now, we'll just call him Chris. Chris was, honestly, lazy, I don't think is really how I would describe it. Just so stupid. Like, you would tell him to do something basic. He would finish PT in the morning, and you would tell him, go take a shower, and then get your uniform on. We have things we need to do today. And you'd show up 10, 15 minutes later, and he would just be sitting in his room just staring at the wall. Not showered, not anything, and you'd have to freak out and thrash him and make his life miserable. And then he's just dumb, amazingly dumb. Dumber than you can possibly imagine. And the worst at every single thing, no matter what we were doing, weapons-wise or whatever, he couldn't do anything. Just really, honestly, they should have drummed him out of the Marines. He was so dumb and incapable of doing anything. Just a moron. And not a terrible guy, I need to note. He was not like evil or something like that. He was just an idiot. Just a total idiot. So 9/11 happens. Remember, I was already in the Marines in 9/11. I'd been in for a year. Not long after, it was a while after, but little ways after, we end up deploying to Kuwait. And we all know it wasn't exactly a mystery. You knew if you were watching at home, you knew we were going to declare war on Iraq. There's a reason they mobilized all these infantry units into Kuwait. Now, we go to Kuwait, but we don't go to some official base or a barracks or something like that. They put us in the middle of some godforsaken strip of desert, and we put up these huge tents, you know, tents that sleep 100, 200 dudes, put up these huge tents. We essentially made a tent city out there, and that's where we slept, and that's where we began training. Really, really, really hard training. We always trained hard in the infantry anyway, but they took it up a notch big time because they're trying to put the finishing touches on combat. So you're doing gas mask runs and just all kinds of crap. As we're getting ready to shove off, we know we're getting ready to shove off, they gave us a pen of adrenaline. I forget what they're called, like EpiPen type thing. And this was because they thought Saddam Hussein was going to gas us. He had very publicly threatened to gas us. We were actually doing a shoot once in Kuwait, and we were told we were getting gassed. It turned out to be a false alarm, but we had to pull out our gas masks. Getting gassed was an extremely real threat for us. We were always wearing our mop gear. That's your gas mask gear, you know, pants and jacket, things like that, mop gear. And this moron was also, it turns out, a complete coward. He did not want to go to combat, which is understandable. I mean, totally get not wanting to go to combat, but you can't chicken out on your buddies. He didn't look at it that way. He takes this pen. The pen was given to us, sorry if I didn't clarify this, in case you get gassed. If you've ever seen the movie The Rock, you have a pretty good understanding of how it goes. You inject yourself with this pen. It'll keep you alive through, or it can keep you alive depending on how bad the gassing is. This moron goes down to the Port-a-Johns one day, pulls out his pen, and sticks himself with it so he doesn't have to go to combat. Essentially tries to create a medical emergency for himself so he gets kicked out and doesn't have to go. And here's the best part of the entire thing. He had something hard in his pocket. You have a pocket on his trousers on the outside of his leg, like cargo pants. He had something in there. I forget what it was, a book there was something hard in there. He tries to stab himself and accidentally stabs the hard thing in the side of his leg. He fails to stab himself. All he ends up doing is bending the needle tip of the EpiPen thing, the adrenaline pen thing. All he got was thrashed for the whole thing. He didn't get kicked out. He didn't create a medical emergency. He did do push-ups until he vomited all over himself. And that's all he got for the entire thing. Yes, I've seen some very dumb people do some very, very dumb things. So, speaking of which, somebody's angry with Utah. He's in Utah and he's angry with Utah. I'm going to try to talk him off the ledge in just a moment. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Let's get to them, shall we? Oracle. The Mormons of Utah are far too trusting of any Mormon Republican who runs for office. They will always just vote for whichever Mormon has the more recognizable last name. It blows me away. We end up with losers like Romney, Curtis, and Cox. That actually sounds like a law firm. We're the most religious state in the frigging union, and our government clarified that he goes by he, him. Will you please rebuke us Utahns? I don't think he said that right on air. Love your show. My wife hates it, though, because she says it's exactly like listening to me. His name is Marshall. Okay. I spent enough time rebuking GOP primary voters in red states. I don't need to single out Utah, but Utah's just as guilty, right? They do the exact same thing we do in Texas and Dakota. They do the same thing. But let's talk about that, because you made it kind of about a Mormon thing. And that's obviously, it's somewhat fair, but let me explain. Everyone knows, not exactly a mystery, that Mormon is, or LDS, Utah is central casting for that. That is where they settled down. That is the LDS capital of the country. And it's very, very powerful. The Mormon Church is very powerful, very influential in the state of Utah. And I've had a lot of people, including a lot of LDS people, email in complaining that that's all they believe, or that's the only seal of approval they need. The second they feel like the Mormon Church gives their thumbs up on somebody, then for a lot of them, they'll just go vote that way, period. I'm not gonna dispute that, okay? But I will say, there is no ability in life, whatever field you're in, politics, doesn't matter what it is, there is no ability like relatability. None whatsoever. It is a human nature thing. It's not unique to Utah or Mormons or Christians or Jews or whites or blacks or Mexicans. It is a universal thing across the globe, across the span of time. People want, they want to feel like they know you. They want to feel like you know them. You know why Donald Trump is so good at retail politics? Retail politics. Why is he so good at it? What makes him so good at it? Because when Donald Trump walks into McDonald's and orders a Big Mac or whatever he orders from McDonald's, not only does he do that because he genuinely likes McDonald's, you look at this guy, this New York billionaire, always in a suit and tie, and you think, he eats what I eat. I eat McDonald's. Trump eats McDonald's. UFC. Maybe you watch UFC, maybe you don't. I like it. I'm not obsessed with it, but I'm liking it more and more and more. But Donald Trump goes to these fights. He goes to these big fights. What other politician does that? And maybe you can say, I don't care about that. Yes, I understand, but hear me out. You tell blue-collar guy, UFC's base is blue-collar dudes. And I know there are rich dudes who watch it and women who watch it, but that's their main base, is blue-collar dudes. When you walk into that, when blue-collar guy's watching UFC, even if he's not political or whatever, and he sees Donald Trump come and sit right by the ring and be into it and cheer and whatnot, he looks at that and thinks, that guy knows me, at least a little bit. He likes what I like. I like watching the fights. Donald Trump likes watching the fights. And it feels real to him. He gets closer to Trump in that moment. It's part of what doomed Dome. Unless you're a blind drunk wine mom on anti-anxiety medication, there's nothing about Dome that most normal people find relatable. She comes off like a far left valley girl. That's a very, very slim portion of the population. Back to Utah. You say you're angry because the Mormons in Utah will go out and vote for whoever they feel has the approval of the Mormon Church. That's fair. It happens. Christians will do this exact same thing too. I don't know. Chris will have to testify to this one. I'm sure Jewish people do the exact same too, because they find it relatable. It's an understandable thing, but it is something we all have to guard against. Think about this. Want to think about this? Think for a moment of how many, Chris said, yes, Jews do too. Think how many black people were absolutely burned because they voted for Barack Obama. Now, there were a ton of black people. He, for an understandable reason, he just dominated the black vote, because the black voter in the United States of America, maybe that's you, had never in his lifetime had a chance to vote for a black person for president. Now, if you're not black, that sounds ridiculous to you. Why would you vote for some street communist just because of the color of his skin? And I have echoed those words. I agree. I think that's crazy, but I still totally get it. If you grew up black in this country and you've never, ever, ever had the chance to vote one time for a black president, and finally that opportunity presents itself to you, And let's say you're not heavily political, you don't really care about policy or really understand it, you're just a normal black person, and that opportunity presents itself, I can totally get why people would jump on that opportunity. And then, but think about this. Think about what it did to them. Barack Obama crushed the black community. The black community didn't really revitalize until Donald Trump took over, deregulated the economy. He stopped the flow of illegal immigration, record low black unemployment. The black community got a huge boost from Donald Trump. But voting based on relatability torched the black community in this country. So that's a lesson not for black people. It's a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for the Christians. It's a lesson for the Mormons, the whites, the blacks, the women. The lesson for all of us, be very, very careful voting based on the guy who talks like you, walks like you, eats what you eat, enjoys what you do, because oftentimes he's pretending, and oftentimes that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, Selena Zito said something last night. She was talking about why Bob Casey, in case you missed it, it was a fascinating interview last night. I had a few of them. Go download the podcast, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. But she was talking about why Bob Casey lost his Senate race in Pennsylvania. And I've heard this exact tale many times before when an incumbent loses. She said he stopped being seen out there. And she mentioned, you know, ribbon cutting ceremonies. Well, this is what happens. Politicians stop caring about being relatable because they've been in power so long, they don't think they have to anymore. But it tells you how they manipulate us, doesn't it? Because when you are a United States Senator, you do need to go to the new ribbon cutting ceremony. If there's a Veterans Day thing, yeah, you might want to go spend it with your family. You know you have to make three different stops at different Veterans Day events because you have to be seen at the Veterans Day thing. You, your entire life has to be about pretending to care about things you probably don't care about. Politicians lie all the time. That relatability thing has burned many, many, many people. So clear back to Utah. Now we're stuck with that scumbag Curtis. You know, Curtis, new senator from Utah, you know, the rumors are he was the one who torpedoed the Matt Gaetz nomination. The reason you're not going to have Matt Gaetz as AG, yeah, we lost Murkowski and Collins, but Curtis from blood red Utah said, oh, I don't like that. Again, we've got to get past the relatability thing. All of us do. It's a very human nature thing. All right, let's talk about moving to Montana. Somebody lost their temper having a political conversation and needs some advice. We'll talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about chalk. I love talking about chalk. Except, you know how I take the chalk lit powder every morning? Every morning, it's this amazing powder that has all the vitamins and minerals you need. And Aub, she always makes us a superfood smoothie in the morning. Just kind of been going barbarian because Aub's been out of town till today. I've just been mixing it up with water and chugging it. It's not bad. It's really not bad. Chris, it's not that bad. Really, it's not. It doesn't matter. I feel good. I just mix up some water, chug it, boom. All my nutrition for the day. You know they're having a huge Black Friday special for chalk? All the natural herbal supplements. Massive discount on subscriptions during the month of November. Plus a free $50 bonus product on your first delivery. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Get some chocolate powder in your life. Start out every day with it. You'll feel so much better. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And let's dig back into these things. Somebody got in a little bit of a tiff with family and friends. Hey, Jesse. I'm in Arizona for the holiday. My parents and I are sitting around the kitchen table eating lunch. The conversation turns to politics. I start by saying Democrats are evil demons, and my dad starts in on Trump. It ends with both of us raising our voices and me shouting at my dad to get your head out of your beep. I'm having trouble with being a persuasive voice for truth. I have the facts in my head, but when the yelling starts, I lose it. I get so upset and I end up cursing and yelling. I know that by doing so, I'm just working against the righteous cause. I've always been an introvert. I've always been the one to let the normies say what they want while I quietly sit in the corner and roll my eyes. Though now, after being inspired by you to stand up and speak truth and push back against the nonsense, I find myself frothing and spitting like a madman. Do you have any advice? All right. So first, I'm glad you've chosen to speak up. For way, way too long, we allowed the communists to be the aggressor in social situations. And that's really important that we remember. That's really important that you don't let that happen. It's not a small thing, because we have a social shame system. Every culture does. The social shame system, where people decide what behaviors, what ideas are acceptable and unacceptable. And for so long, because the communist was the only aggressor, we rolled our eyes and muttered things under our breath. And he's over there screaming and yelling about how much he loves open borders. He was the one deciding what the social shame system would be. It's the one who speaks up who decides that. So you can't let him do that anymore. Stop being quiet. Stop rolling your eyes. He is the one who should be ashamed. He's the one with evil demonic views. He's the one wanting to flood the country with murderers and rapists. You don't have to be quiet. He should be quiet. However, when you argue with communists, when you debate them, and I've done so many, many, many times before, it's really, really critical for you to keep calm for a couple different reasons. One, I've done a lot of very terrible things in my life, and I don't want to call them mistakes. When I call them mistakes, it makes it sound like I'm making an excuse for terrible things I consciously did. And almost every mistake I've ever made, every horrible thing I've done or bad thing I've said has come when I'm either angry or drunk. Almost every single one of them. I could go down the list. I was mad. Oh, I was drunk. I was mad. I was drunk. I was mad. So I've learned in my 43 years, although I certainly have not perfected this, that I should really avoid both of those states. That I will do far fewer bad things if I stay calm and I stay sober. I'm not trying to be your priest. I'm just telling you, for me personally, that's what I've discovered about me in my life. But it's not just that. The communist, remember, I'm going to say something and get mad at me. You're probably going to wonder what happened to Jesse. He still is a flesh and blood human being. He's just very, very lost. He's lost for a variety of reasons. He has lost his mind. He now pushes a really, really horrible, destructive religion. And we want him to come home, right? We don't want him to be lost. And you, maybe you've got a member of your family, maybe it's a daughter, a mom, a dad. This guy's arguing with his dad, and dad is lost. Dad is going to get mad. And you don't have to sit there quietly. You can argue with dad. But when he loses his mind and he starts screaming and yelling and your daughter's yelling at you, you can argue back and you should argue back. But if you lose your temper, you're not going to bring him back. You can logically shoot down and should shoot down the ridiculous demonic ideas while staying completely calm. I have found in my personal life, whenever I encounter a communist at a party, neighborhood, anywhere, that this is an extremely effective way, if not convincing them, at least getting them to shut up. I told you about that one conversation I had. Dude was actually Canadian, and he was this big commie, and he loved to run his freaking mouth. And the second he walked into the party, he started running his mouth about politics. And all my neighbors are getting giddy. They're like, oh, we got to get him with Jesse. We got to get him with Jesse. They're just giddy with excitement about watching me go in on this guy. And he sat down and started arguing about gun confiscation. I didn't want to argue, but he decided he wanted to go all in on it. And of course, he started yelling and raising his voice and losing his mind. And I just sat there the entire time. And I wouldn't let him get off subject. He tries to do that. It's a tactic. They try to get you off subject. That's something a stupid Nazi like you would say. And if you let him get to you, I'm not a Nazi. You just lost the argument. Nope. You're not going to reframe the argument. You're not going to get me off course. Set the Nazi stuff aside for a moment. You just said gun confiscation. Let's go back to what you said. No. Stay on subject. Nope. Don't name call. Nope. You're screaming and yelling. That's not going to... You stay right there. By the time we were done talking, I didn't turn him into some bloodthirsty right winger. Of course not. But by the time we were done talking, he was so exasperated by the fact that I calmly shot down every one of his moronic arguments that you could just see how deflated he was. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders. The emotions they run off of. Oftentimes, it's a tactic to throw you off and get you emotional. If he can get you emotional, if he can get you screaming and yelling, then he has you off topic. If you stay calm and think, don't get offended, he's going to insult you. He's going to call you a name. Your liberal Aunt Peggy is going to insult your intelligence, your morality, your whatever. This is a tactic that is done on purpose. If you let it get to you, you will not win the argument. You may not lose, but you will not win. When you allow them to get to your emotions, you are allowing them to reframe the argument and move you off of something. So when you're having an argument with people and they tell you you just want to close the border because you're a racist Nazi who reminds them of Adolf Hitler, if you get offended and raise your voice, you're going to lose. If you just ignore that, brush it aside, and stay on topic, you will win. I hope that helped. All right? Now, it's time for you to help and me to help. Time to help the people of Israel who are currently suffering. Suffering. You see, food scarcity is not something people think about when they think about Israel, but it's real. There are a lot of people who still don't have homes over there. They still need bomb shelters. They need firefighting equipment. They have always and will always need flak jackets, helmets. So who's going to provide these things? If their government isn't going to do all this, who's going to provide these things? The IFCJ is the one who provides them. Over 40 years, they've been on the ground providing these things. Help them help. If you have a heart to do so, go to supportifcj.org and help. Or you can call them 888-488-IFCJ. All right, let's talk about Montana. Someone wants to know if I'm ever going to give Jewish producer Chris a microphone. Somebody wants to talk about the difference between communism and socialism and Napoleon. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.